This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
The terrific Football Tuesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, and you here with us on the BetQL Network. We'll get to all our bets for tonight coming up in the Power Hour, the final hour of the show. We're very excited to give you those bets. NHL, NBA, and college hoops. That's coming up next hour on the show. We'll also give you golf bets for the weekend from our friend Ryan Noonan from 4for4 and BetSperts. But otherwise, we are wearing the 8 buckets bucket hats right now because we are talking win totals in the NFL offseason. The scouting combine going on right now in Indianapolis, and we closed the last hour, Ken, talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning defending Super Bowl champions, set the stage that I think they're very likely to lose at least one of Chris Jones, and L'Jarius Sneed, maybe both. We'll see about Drew Tranquil. We'll see about Willie Gay. And this happens a lot, right? Like, you make the Super Bowl, win or lose, and you're going to lose some players. It's just kind of how it goes, especially when you're paying the quarterback like the Chiefs are. He's actually underpaid, which is crazy, Patrick Mahomes says, right? So you set the stage, Ken. I did with the players, and then you set the stage with the schedule. Talking about Chiefs, AFC North will be the cross-match for the AFC West this year and the NFC South, and all the AFC teams will play 8 home games and 9 road games, except for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who always host a game or two in London. So now let's try and guess what we think this win total is going to be, Ken, for the reigning defending Super Bowl champs.
I think, especially for the Chiefs with the two defensive players, I almost want to be like, how low? Like, let's say they keep neither somehow. They go into next year and Sneed's not on the roster and Chris Jones isn't on the roster. Like, what is the lowest number? And this isn't like what I would make it. I'm trying to guess what the opener is going to be or like what it is after a couple weeks or something like that. I think like the rock bottom number for them is still 11. And I think it's either more than that or it's not. So I put 11.5 as my best guess for what they will open in the market. Basically like a slight improvement over performance last year with the idea that they will improve slightly roster-wise, especially on offense in terms of how they will perform. I mean, I would project them to be a better offense next year and a slightly worse defense. If you think they're like 7th and 8th, I'd project like 3rd and 12th or something, you know, like something more reasonable for them next year. So with that in mind, like, the way the team's typically rated, I think something like 11, 11.5. I'll go 11.5 because I think he'll probably draw over money on them regardless.
It's really tough to disagree with that. And like last year, won 11 games and obviously go on to win the Super Bowl. You had the end of the Buffalo game with like the Kadarius Toney offsides on like the ridiculous, you know, the Kelsey lateral to Toney when he scores the touchdown that gets called back. The MVS drop against the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, this could have very easily been a 13-4 team. And they probably, I mean, that's kind of like what they were, right? Because then they beat Miami, beat the Bills in Buffalo, beat the Ravens in Baltimore, beat the Niners in the Super Bowl. En route to back-to-back Super Bowl championships, their third in this dynastic era for the Kansas City Chiefs. Ken, really tough to disagree with your assessment here of 11.5. And look, even if they lose Jones and Sneed, it's really tough ever betting against them. Remember, I've said this a couple times recently, they traded Tyreek Hill. They traded Tyreek Hill and then proceeded to win back-to-back Super Bowls. There it is. What else is there to say?
Like, next year we'll be like, man, they didn't keep L'Jarius Sneed. And they won the Super Bowl again.
And they won the Super Bowl again.
I feel like we'll just do that again. Yeah. if we're, I'm going to ask this question every time. So wait, so your prediction's 11 and a half also? For, we're both the same?
I think the rock bottom, I guess the one thing I was going to ask how we're wrong. Push back on.
That's what I was going to, that's what's going to be my question. Are we wrong a half win more or less? Or more than
I think if they lose Jones and Snead, I think there's, it would never be 10 and a half. It has, like, 11
well,
is
it could
the
be.
Lowest.
I mean, it can be 10 and a half. If it was 10 and a half, would you really like to bet the over on them with no Jones and no Snead in the regular season?
Yeah. Yeah, I have Mahomes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like 11 and 6 and I win? Like they lose six times and
like
I still win.
The winningest quarterback ever. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, and Andy Reid's negotiating a contract extension. He'll be back.
Right. And Kelsey's not going to retire, at least right now. So I think we feel pretty good.
Yeah, I would I wouldn't feel good.
Do you think
I'd feel
what would,
effing
what would your
amazing.
Answer be to if we're wrong, are we wrong 11 or are we wrong 12?
11.
I agree. Which is crazy because it's Mahomes and they just won the Super Bowl. But I agree with you.
Anything else on Kansas City?
No, I thought that was pretty thorough, actually, for February 27th. I thought that was pretty good.
It was, right? All right. So we started with Kansas City. Now we'll go to the AFC East and we'll work our way down from there. We'll go through AFC East, North, South, and West, and we'll see how many teams we get through today. We'll obviously get nothing but time coming up here in the NFL offseason. Let's go to the Buffalo Bills, Ken. Yet another like playoff failure for Buffalo. Miserable, like gut punch loss for the Buffalo Bills, losing to the Chiefs in the manner that they did. Now, Sean McDermott, their head coach, in the news recently, because he's saying, you know, like, we are going, it's not a matter of if, but when we win a Super Bowl in Buffalo. Now, whether or not that's true is another question. But I mean, I guess if you're a Bills fan, that's what you want your coach to say. Like, we are going to win the Super Bowl, even if I think Ken and I have a lot of skepticism that that's going to be the case. So Josh Allen obviously returns for the Bills, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Joe Brady will be the offensive coordinator. He was the interim OC when they fired Ken Dorsey after the Monday night loss to the Denver Broncos. So Joe Brady will be the offensive coordinator. Bobby Babich, son of Bob Babich, is the new defensive coordinator. We don't know who will be calling plays on defense yet. Sean McDermott might delegate it to Bobby Babich. If not, Bobby Babich. If not, right. McDermott will call the defensive plays himself. That'll be like Adam Sandler's next
son of
character.
A Babich. Yeah,
right, Bobby so. Babich. Yeah. The big offseason story for Buffalo, they are $50 million over the cap. And we'll see, because the NFL is so flush with money that the salary cap got raised a lot. Maybe Buffalo will be able to like dig themselves out of this hole that they're in. They're going to have to, obviously. They'll finagle it. They'll find a way to do it. But I think the roster might look a little different next year, where they might have to let go of some like high-priced veterans, like Leonard Floyd's name has been mentioned here. Gabe Davis is a free agent. Can Buffalo afford to pay Gabe Davis $13 million a year? And this was a question, Ken, that I had about Buffalo coming into the last couple seasons, which is, outside of Stephon Diggs, do you feel good about Josh Allen's weaponry? So let's say Gabe Davis is not with Buffalo next year, and they would obviously like draft someone or try to sign someone in free agency. Now it's Diggs, and it's Dalton Kincaid, last year's first-round pick, like tight end, slot receiver, hybrid, James Cook. Like, it's possible that Buffalo's roster is not going to be as good next year as it was this past year, given the salary cap issues that they have. So I wanted to provide that as a backdrop. They could still be awesome, right? They still have Josh Allen. They're still going to be like a really good team, we think. But maybe not as good roster-wise, Ken, as they've been the last couple of years. What do you think about Buffalo?
Yeah, it's they're really, really interesting. And we did, obviously, throughout the playoffs, I mentioned that historical trend on the coaches and quarterbacks that stay together for a while. Like, once you get, there's an expiration date, it seems like, on this stuff. And Buffalo, like, they're not even, like, they're not, you look at the milk and you're like, like, I'm still going to drink this, even though it's a, like, you look at the milk and it's like not liquid anymore. And you like, can't even pour it out of the container. Like, that seems like what this is with this pairing. That being said, there's nothing that says they still, it's, they have a quarterback that could win MVP next year. And if that's true, then there's nothing preventing them from winning a lot of regular season games. Not no matter who else is on the team, but like that obviously gives you a big advantage. The schedule, we did the Chiefs schedule already. Buffalo, you know, obviously, you know, won the division. They like play a really, really difficult schedule too, as you'd imagine. And the way I like to think about schedules, especially the last couple of years, is like when you do divisions, Like all the teams in the AFC East, do you want to bet a team to win the AFC East? What are the games that are unique to Buffalo that the other teams in the division don't have to play? Because the other AFC East teams, they're going to play the same cross-match division. Sometimes their bonus game might be like a similar talented team. But this is where Buffalo is at a tremendous disadvantage. So the divisions they play, AFC South is who the AFC East draws, and the NFC West. Again, we're going to read these pairings. There isn't like a bad one in the bunch. Like there isn't a really easy pairing and a really difficult pairing because the easiest and the most difficult division got paired together for teams like the Chiefs. They played the easiest division, NFC South, and the most difficult division, AFC North, together. So it evens itself out, basically, in terms of there's no like the NFC South last year had like just the easiest cakewalk, both Souths. That's how, like, how do you think the Texans won so many games? And all those teams, how do you think the Colts won so many games? Anyway, Buffalo plays AFC South, NFC West. All that means is they play the Niners, which is fun because it's just a really good game. There are three extra games that they have that in this, nobody else has this trio. They play the Ravens and the Chiefs as part of playing a first place schedule. So they'll play the Ravens, Chiefs, and Niners next year, which is just awesome if you like football because those are three really fun games. Their 17th game, bonus game, is the Lions, which is really, really, really tough, too.
This team gets boned every year. It's unbelievable.
So, they can win a lot of games. They have Josh Allen. They can be some fun-ass games, man. These are going to be some really, really compelling stuff. Last year, they won 11. Obviously, like, people weren't sure if they were going to make the playoffs for a while. They go on a run in the later part of the season. They blow out Dallas, Miami in the last week, end up, like, you know, putting together a formidable record, 11-6. Their Pythagorean expectation was that they were a 12-win team. So they played like a really good team down the stretch. Part of that difference is that they probably blew out a few more teams than some other teams did or than an 11-win team would normally win. So, you know, they're kind of comfortably in that range against this schedule. You know, I think you're talking about a high number and it's going to be an interesting under conversation, I think, for them next year against a schedule like this. You know, my gut kind of says that they probably run back like, it's 10.5 or 11, and I don't know which one it is. If the roster moves will end up telling the tale here, probably. I'll start with like 10.5 juiced over, and then like let's see how good the roster actually ends up being.
You bet here with Nick and Ken. Eight buckets, win totals, trying to project them here for the AFC. I think I agree with you. That might just be
is it
11.
Less?
Like it is. I don't know if it's ever less because, okay, like Gabe Davis and like, I'll just like Leonard Floyd, like they're not there. Oh, Josh Allen's right. Still there. And it's not the same as Kansas City. It's not even close to the same as the Chiefs. But if the bet is, okay, Buffalo loses six games and I still win my bet, like it does sound kind of appealing. The other thing that I think we should talk about here with this division, especially, I do think the Dolphins are more likely than not to take a step back this season. Like not that they can't win the Super Bowl, but maybe not be as good in the regular season as they were. The Jets are going to be better if Rodgers is healthy, obviously, duh. And the Patriots can't be worse. Like they can't be worse than they were last year.
They'll probably just be the same.
I think it's going to be stiffer competition.
Well, the two Jets games, you change the win probability in those two games dramatically. But to be fair, like all the other teams on Buffalo's schedule will get better or worse in kind of the same way. So you just try to figure this out. But yeah, like playing in their division is tougher than playing in some other ones. They draw like Baltimore, Kansas City in the first place cross matches is impossible. Drawing Detroit as the 17th is really, really difficult. Kansas City draws San Francisco as the 17th. You know, so it's just that's what keeps these obviously from being 13.5, whatever, is that like when you come in first, you play a more difficult schedule. I think it's. Yeah, like I predict like my prediction for what it'll open at is 10.5. If we're wrong, what half are we wrong? We're 11 has to be. We're not gonna be wrong 10, right? We're gonna be wrong 10.
Correct.
Oh, man. What's your best guess about like what the roster looks like? Because you brought up the questions, but I feel like we didn't like answer them necessarily. Like, what's your best guess about how this looks?
I think like you need to trust that Brandon Bean has like a great draft, and I don't know that he's done anything to show you that like this is going to be like a draft the Rams had last year, where it's like here's like Puka and like Kobe Turner and Young. It's like all these guys that can come and contribute immediately. I don't know if I have confidence or like what Brad Holmes has done with the Lions. He's had a lot more top picks, obviously. I just don't know if I'm confident that I trust like this general manager to kind of restock the cupboard here. I think the roster is like likely to be a little worse. And again, so for the Bills fans out there, people that like Buffalo, it doesn't mean they can't still go with like 13-4. Like, you still have Josh Allen. They could still be awesome. They could win the Super Bowl. They could break through. But be honest, right? They're up against it here financially. It's probably likely that the roster's not going to be as good next year.
Yeah, I think it's funny because, like, that being said, I think if we're wrong, we're wrong, and it's 11 just because of,
agreed,
like, track record and the record last year. Like, Pythagorean expectation of 12, and the roster won't be marked, like, way worse. Maybe the answer is 11. Maybe that just shows, like, a little bias where I'm just kind of thinking, like, they're just going to have, like, a monster regular season. Like, it's a long season. You know, a team that's really likely to make the playoffs, but... You know, where they, you know, if there was a market for win the most regular season games, I'd need a really, really long price to play them over. So at least some other, honestly, all the NFC teams that we'll talk about, because they'll all play an easier schedule. Yeah, just again, think about it for Buffalo. 8, and with that home field advantage too. 8 home, 9 road. You draw Baltimore, Kansas City, you draw Detroit. Nobody else draws that trio. Like, it just, like, you can be really good and that's still 10 or 11. Maybe it opens 11 juiced under, but yeah, I think between those two numbers.
I kind of want to, I know you don't really think of things like to think of things like this. If I told you that Buffalo was going to do what they did after Joe Brady took over as the OC, run the ball a lot more, try to minimize Josh Allen's turnovers, does that make you think they'll win more or less regular season games if Allen's not going like full swashbuckler? It's a little interesting to, like, think about.
A lot. Yeah, a lot of games, but we're saying a lot of games.
On the other side, Dolphins, Jets, Patriots, AFC East, 8 buckets.
5, Tua puts it up, high and intercepted. It's Mike Edwards in the back, coming up with the pick.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Mike Tirico with the call. Hey, remember the Peacock exclusive game? The world didn't end, everybody.
Barely.
Like, the earth, I remember it being very jittery. Axis.
I remember it buffering a lot.
Mine was perfect. I had no issues with it.
There were a lot of issues for a lot of people on it. Well, that was unique to you then. So that was like
God
a big deal.
Bless. Absolutely, yeah. Loved it. And in that game, the Kansas, and also I wish I could forget that game because I bet Miami and Kansas City. Kansas City covered the spread, as you might expect. So the Miami Dolphins looked like they were going to win the AFC East all season, and then Buffalo tracked them down at the end, beat them in Week 18 to win the division. Miami, a wild card team, would lose on the road in Kansas City as the Chiefs went on to win another Super Bowl championship. So this offseason for the Miami Dolphins, as we talk win totals here, projecting them for the teams in the AFC, the big story here, Ken, is what are they going to do with Tua Tagovailoa's contract? Is he going to get a long-term extension? Tua has said that he thinks he's going to. Dolphins GM Chris Greer has said that they are certainly open to the conversation. Mike McDaniel, speaking at the scouting combine earlier today, the Dolphins head coach, for the first time since they lost to Kansas City and the exit interviews or exit press conferences that week, kind of expressing a lot of confidence in Tua Tagovailoa. And maybe Tua does get that long-term extension that ties him to the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, if he doesn't get that long-term extension, he'll be a lame duck this year, and that will be a cloud hanging over the team. Maybe it helps, maybe it hurts, maybe it means nothing, but just something for people to keep an eye out for. Just be aware of that this Tua conversation is going to like kick into overdrive the longer it goes with Tua not getting a long-term contract. Xavien Howard is going to be released by Miami. Christian Wilkins, their defensive lineman, one of their best defensive players, got to enter free agency. The thought is the Dolphins are going to find some way to keep him, but just throwing that out there, not a guarantee that he's back. And Vic Fangio, replaced his defensive coordinator. He leaves Miami to go to Philadelphia. Anthony Weaver is the new defensive coordinator for the Dolphins. Jalen Ramsey tweeted after it was announced that Xavien Howard was going to be released, basically indirectly slammed Vic Fangio for the way he called the defense. And I kind of don't know what to expect from the Dolphins defense this year. A couple key players coming off like significant injuries, pass rushers. Andrew Van Ginkle's going to enter free agency. So kind of a lot going on here, Ken, for the Miami Dolphins as we enter this season. A playoff team last year. What are your expectations for them as we enter this season in the win total market?
You alluded to it already that you were kind of not down on them, but like, oh, they could take a step back. I think that's what you said when we did the Bills analysis. I'm not sure I agree with that. It's only February. I think they could potentially still be a really, really interesting team. So some of their raw numbers, won 11 games last year. They had a Pythagorean expectation. They played like a 10.8 win team. So not a huge difference there, obviously. numbers wise. And this is where I think the crux of what's interesting. DVOA second on offense. That's not surprising. McDaniel, Tyreek Hill, Waddle, Tua, this offense. And with Vic Fangio and a lot of injuries, like that was the story of the playoff game, is that no one was healthy. But Vic Fangio coordinating and a lot of talent, 19th in DVOA on defense last year, 19th. And I do think that's pretty interesting. And I'll do the schedule in a second. But I think, like, I always view teams to win the Super Bowl through, like, a couple different prisms. But we've done one, like, publicly on the air, on the show, in regards to DVOA, right, where just a good way to think about it is, like, all right, if a team is really elite, like, very one of the best in the league on one side of the ball, what can they do in the offseason to fix the other side? And frequently, if you can target that team and you think they've done that, you think they did fix the opposite side, then maybe they could win the Super Bowl. So, you know, Tampa, you know, needed to fix their offense a few years ago. And what did they do? They got Tom Brady. It's a pretty good way to fix your offense. The Rams wanted to upgrade their offense, and they got Matthew Stafford. And it doesn't always have to be a quarterback. It could be a team with an offense. The Chiefs beat the Eagles, but it was very clear that their defense was struggling in the equation. They had the first-ranked offense a couple of years ago, so they tried to fix the defense, and they balanced that a little bit. Just like they're always, teams are always – look, teams want to win. They know what they're bad at. They're going to try to fix the opposite side. What is the Miami defense like? What does this represent, a fix? Is Ramsey accurate in his statement that Fangio and the players, there was just conflict? And it's, I mean, you know, Vic Fangio is a big name. They're 19th in defense, bottom half of the league in defense, with a big name coordinator and a ton of talent. And you could blame injuries. You could blame a lot of things. You could blame, like, maybe the offense puts the defense in bad situations too. Like, this is like a college football conversation, but I think that's really interesting. Like, yeah, they lose Fangio. What are they losing? Like, they were 19th. Like, what, they can't be 19th again next year with some combination of players? I think that part of it's really interesting too. So I'll do the schedule breakdown in a second, but like, I'm trying to figure out if it's like, if I'm being too biased against Tua and against like the perception of this team. The playoff game against Kansas City is rough, where I go like, look, if they're second in offense and they're going into this year and they're going to try to fix the opposite side or try to keep it all together, at least, don't I have to take them seriously as a team that can win the Super Bowl next year? They're one of the top teams in one of the two units. Like, putting aside what I think about Tua, like, am I being biased and I need to actually put that aside and give Miami strong consideration just statistically to win the Super Bowl next year? There aren't a lot of teams I would say that about.
Yeah, it's subjective, right? Do you think Tua Tagovailoa is a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Like, probably not, but it's possible, right?
No one would say yes, to be fair. No one would say yes right now.
Well, the Dolphins might.
Well, Tua would. Pay him, Tua would say yes.
Pay him a bleep ton of money. Talia. But to your point, you know, like, Waddle will be back, Tyreek Hill will be back, Achan will be back, and, like, well, obviously you would think that he would have, like, an expanded role next year. The defense isn't impossible to fix. And obviously, like, you need some better variance, right, in terms of health for your defensive players. But your two best pass rushers are coming off season-ending injuries, like Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. Kind of like, what's their recovery like going into the season? I don't know. I loved the Dolphins. And look, like, they could have an offseason that makes me love them again heading into the year. The Dolphins were my preseason pick to win the AFC. Like, Dolphins-Niners was my Super Bowl matchup before. Like, I loved Miami last offseason going into the year. Not that I think they're going to be bad this year, Ken. Just that I think I'm unlikely to slot Miami in as, like, AFC champion next year. Doesn't mean they can't win, like, 12 regular season games. I don't think their ceiling is going to be that high as I thought it was last year. That's a me thing. Maybe I shouldn't have thought that last year. I don't know.
I think it's a you thing in terms of, like, now you're off the bandwagon, and I think you might have been onto something, honestly. You know, what's our best guess for how the offense is going to project this year? Top three in the league. Like, I'd be surprised if they weren't, honestly. I mean, somebody got hurt, like, really bad if that didn't happen. Okay, is the defense going to be below league average again? Maybe. Could be a little better. Okay, then, you know, they won 11 games last year. Like, I just, what's this going to be? So, they're really interesting for that. Also, like, how much of how we feel about them is generated entirely by the playoff game? You could fold in the Week 18 Buffalo game, maybe, to those two games together, like, the way it ended. And is that fair when a ton of defensive players are either hurt or out for the season? And then you're in an impossible, it's negative 30 with no defense against Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's Tua's fault? Maybe some of it is because he's not Patrick Mahomes, and you want to bet on the winner. You're going to want to bet on Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. You're going to bet on the winner and not the other guys. Just like how much of it is that? And he didn't play in the playoff game the year before. Skylar Thompson did. So like, what?
Oh my God! We got one playoff game,
and it's against Mahomes, and it's you can't feel your fingers.
That's fair. I can't feel my fingers when I'm right. outside Kansas City. What do they say? What's the Tyler will know this. You might know all. What's the catchphrase from Good Keenan and Kel or like Good Burger or whatever? We go again. Something like that.
What's at the start of the song? I can hear the aw. Oh, here it goes.
This is like this is how I feel right now. Oh, there. Yeah. That's how I feel right now. Am I doing this again with the Miami Dolphins? Yeah.
Was it like gone? Everybody go run and tell your homeboys and homegirls. It's time for Keenan and Kel. Yeah.
I feel like I know the words to so many like television shows, like theme songs, and I don't know that one at all. Like, at all.
I got that first part. If you asked me to keep going, I'd be like, I don't. There's something about like you gotta watch Keenan because Keenan be scheming, and I'm always like, what? Like what?
That's okay.
Like, all right.
How about
this? SNL for a while.
Give me a random show from like when we were growing up, and I'll see if I know all the words to the theme song.
A really random show.
It doesn't be like super random.
How random are you looking for here? Like really random or like Pantheon?
I don't know. Whatever you're thinking.
So like
random meaning
first.
Like whatever.
So Pantheon's okay. Like Saved by the Bell. It's like Pantheon.
Yeah, well that I know. Yeah, that we've like done that. On the
Well, you want me to go more difficult than that? I don't know what you're going for.
Yeah. Here. A little more, more difficult.
Salute your shorts.
Well, there is the lifetime of our finest family on the lake of Anawana, set in our old palm trees. Camp Anawana, we hold you in our hearts, and when we think about you, it makes me wanna fart.
that's good. I would have gotten. I didn't even remember like the intro. The verse in the, like at the end, I would have remembered that, like the Camp Anawana part, but like the whole verse, like,
we hold you in our hearts, and when we think about you, it makes me want to fart.
And who says that lyric? Somebody says that lyric, and then there's like a reaction. Who says that one?
Bobby Butnick, right?
Is that who says it though? Is he?
I'm pretty
it?
Sure. I think because he's like the troublemaker.
Okay.
Well, who was yeah, like what was know, the fat kid's Camp name Anawana. In that show? There was like a fat
Donkey
kid
Lips?
Who had like yes.
Yeah.
These are things that like you would never get away with. Like, let's have a fat kid on the show and his nickname is Donkey Lips in 2023.
Every plot line of every episode, every plot line of every episode about him involves the fact that he's obese.
Like, every single plot line. He's eating. He's depressed and eating.
Yes. And it's so funny. Let's all laugh at it.
It was pretty funny.
Here's the
right?
90s, folks. Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, To be fair, like that can be funny, right? Like we all can't be so sensitive to admit to say that, that can't be funny sometimes.
Oh yeah,
like and, really and fat person eating, like that can be funny. Sorry.
Right. What's he eating? 8 buckets. Like oh okay, that's a lot of food.
So, Donkey Lips. Like what?
You know, it's your standard character, right?
All right. You better you bet with Nick and Ken. So what's the Dolphins win total going to be?
Oh, man. Oh, I didn't even do the schedule. Sorry. So I did all the stuff from last year. I won 11, played like an 11-win team, had some injuries on defense. The AFC East, as we mentioned, draws AFC South and NFC West. It's like a pretty average draw. Miami's cross matches for where they finished in their division are Cleveland and Vegas, which is not as tough as obviously what we just did with Buffalo and Kansas City, where it's like, here's the 5 best teams in the league. And Miami's like, here come the Raiders. All right, that's a little bit better. Cleveland obviously going to be pretty good next year, but not as good as some of the elite teams. And the Miami's extra game is like a banger. They draw the Packers. Is there a 17th game, which is like a really, really fun game next year. So, you know, like, manageable schedule, I guess is the right way to put it. I'm gonna say for the Bills we said 10.5, right? That we said for the Bills, like that was our final answer on the Bills.
So
I will say 10
juiced,
10, right? 10 juiced over for Miami. I'll say 10 juiced over.
Is it juiced over? Is it just like
10? I was thinking about 10.5 and just having the juice be different for both of them too.
Well, I was gonna say because we can't necessarily like my original thought was going to be 10.5 for Miami, but I was like, if Buffalo's going to be 10.5, can Miami
maybe
also
it's 11
be 10? I guess
10.5.
Honestly, like the answer might be yes to that if Buffalo's roster isn't going to be as good.
Because I think I know what my Jets one is going to be. And you want it to match kind of like how you think the division's going to be priced. Like Buffalo, by MGM on the screen right now, as I say that. Like Buffalo's going to be the favorite to win the division, at least like at open or like in the first month of the offseason. Like Buffalo will be the favorite, but it won't be by a lot. And MGM, the market on your screen right now, or whatever Mike's found that he put on the screen, Bills plus 120, Dolphins 2-1, Jets 275, Patriots 20, which I think everybody would at least kind of agree where it's like, okay, there's three teams and they're all kind of close to each other in some order, and then the Patriots are way far back. Like I agree with that. So is it like Bills 11, Dolphins 10.5? Is that right?
No.
I don't know if the Dolphins are going to be a 10.5.
I agree.
And I think if they're 10, I think I'm going to bet the over if they're 10. I think I'm going to play into like Fangio is not like as big as everyone thinks. That's what I'm going to play into.
And you wouldn't bet 10 because you would want to push on 10.
Yeah. I want to push on 10. 10's going to happen a lot. Yeah.
I can't disagree with anything you said.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll do the Jets on the other side. Give me one more like random TV show.
Oh God. I'm trying to remember ones that like had, so we did salute. Hey Dude. Remember that show? I'm trying to do a Nickelodeon one.
If you could start me off, I think I could probably
boom, boom, boom. It's like, it's a little wild and a little strange.
When I'm living home out on the range.
On the range. Sorry.
So grab your tails and grab along.
Yeah,
and
come along.
and sing this song.
I don't think that's it. I think it's you can't something right if you can't go wrong or something like that.
Oh, maybe that's right. Nickelodeon, what? Like the cowboys say, sing it again now.
Sing it again.
Yippee ki yay, till the break of day. And then it ends with some guy going, hey, dude.
Hey, dude. Yeah, good old Mr. Ernst. Shout out Mr. Ernst, you know?
I had a huge crush on, like, the future of Mrs. Ben Stiller. What's her name?
On the show?
No, like her name on the show is Melody. I remember that. What's her name in real life? Christine something?
I don't know. Oh, maybe.
Christine Stiller? Christine Taylor, right? Yeah. I had a huge crush when I was like 8. I was like, she's beautiful. She married Ben Stiller.
Hey, dude.
I was right. On the other side. Hey, dude. Dude is Aaron Rodgers.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL network.
First and 10, Jet 43. There's the snap. Sets and looks. Look out from the side. He's grabbed, spun, and sacked down. Brought down on the play by Leonard Floyd. Oh, he came rocketing through. He sacks Rodgers. It's a loss of 9, and they're back to the 33 of New York.
And that's 3 plays in a row where there's been pressure up front.
Rodgers is down. Rodgers is pointing to his leg, and he got up on his feet and then fell down on his own accord and is now sitting up with his elbows on his knees. But Floyd got him and twisted Rodgers, and the quarterback for the Jets is down.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL network.
The great Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner with the call. NFL season opening Monday night game on Westwood One. True story, Ken and I were at Amalfi in Las Vegas having dinner when that happened. And yeah. We were like, could this actually be?
We did the have the nice dinner with the phones showing an NFL game facing each of us. And we'd always be like, are you ahead? We'd be like, what play do you have? Do you have that play? Be like, oh, I got this play. Okay. Just figuring it out.
Vaxxed?
Yeah. It was a good meal, too. What was the best part of that meal?
The thing that I remember from the meal is the fish that I get, which is the red snapper, like doused in the red pepper sauce. Was really delicious.
Calabrian,
I don't remember anything else from the meal.
Yeah.
I remember nothing else from the meal, but I remember it was really good.
Yeah, it was really good. I think we had like an amount of money that we could spend. And I think, did we get dessert?
Yes.
I think the dessert was really good, whatever we got.
I agree. I think it was really good.
Situation? Is that maybe what was going on?
And this is the truth.
if the dessert had taken us over the allotted amount of money, I would have paid for it because I ain't leaving no nice dinner without having dessert. I've worked too hard.
I mean, ran up a pretty good bill, and shout out to the person who covered it. You got a very nice note from me the next day. That was great. That was a fun time. And Aaron Rodgers hurt his Achilles that same night.
I've worked way too hard in my life to not have dessert when I go out for dinner, no matter how much it costs. Worked way too hard in my life. Final segment of the day on Stadium, twitch.tv/BetQL for the final hour, the power hour of the show. 1 hour from now, we're going to start giving out all our bets for tonight. And there's a lot going on in the world of sports tonight. I can't wait to give out some bets. I feel like they're going to go really well. Duh. Man, I can't wait to go 0-8 tonight. I think the bets are going to be great, and we'll talk about it coming up 60 minutes from now. But for right now, let's talk the New York Jets and our projection on their win total for this coming season. We will obviously do this operating under the presumption that Aaron Rodgers plays the entire year, which might not happen, obviously. Robert Saleh returns as head coach. Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator. Jeff Ulbrich returns as defensive coordinator. And for the Jets, it's going to be what wide receivers can they get to support Garrett Wilson? It looks unlikely. And Tom Telesco, new Raiders GM, saying at the Combine today on Tuesday that Devontae Adams is not going to get traded. I think that had been what Jets fans had wanted, to reunite Adams with Aaron Rodgers, obviously, opposite Garrett Wilson. I told everybody the day that the Raiders made Antonio Pierce the permanent head coach that Adams wasn't going anywhere. So I think that's very unlikely. But the Jets are going to look to add more weaponry on offense, obviously need a better offensive line to protect Rodgers. And Bryce Huff on defense, who's been like an incredible situational pass rusher, he looms as like their biggest defensive free agent. Guys, just wanted to say that. I think he's a really good player, whether the Jets sign him or he goes elsewhere. So let's talk about the Jets, their schedule, and then we can kind of guess what their win total might be.
Yeah, and you look, with the other teams, I'll give you last year's numbers as like this really good kind of entry point to having a conversation. There isn't a ton about the Jets last year that is probably relevant to the win total that you see on them in the market. They won 7 games last year, and they played like a 5.8 win team, mostly because their offense was dead last in the NFL in most things. Dead last. They were dead last in offensive DVOA. They were dead last in a couple other statistics too. Yards per attempt, nope. Like everything's bad. So, Rodgers, if you're like, oh, well, you know, winning the Super Bowl is about having a really good one side of the ball and then figuring out how to fix the other side. Well, the Jets were 3rd in DVOA on defense, and a lot of that will come back, and the coach will come back, and the coordinator will come back. And, well, how do they fix the offense? Well, he could not tear his Achilles like 5 seconds into the season would be probably a good way to fix the offense. So, look, there's never been a team that's been dead last in DVOA or dead last or close to dead last in a bunch of these offensive metrics. There's never been a team that's done that and then won the Super Bowl the next year. But as much of a fan of history as I am, we can also understand how this is a pretty unique situation where it's like a Hall of Fame quarterback who was supposed to be the starter and gets hurt. Right? Like if he played 5 games, the numbers wouldn't be dead last. They'd be like 27th. Or like 23rd or whatever. It's just literally it happened in the first game on like the first series. So it's a unique situation. And so you're mindful of history. You also kind of understand some of the ways in which the situation might be just a little bit different. I'm not saying the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl, just that, you know, I think they deserve like a tiny amount of attention just as a team that had one of the best defenses and is essentially fixing their offense like the way they tried to do it last year by getting Aaron Rodgers. Schedule-wise, same thing with the other AFC East teams. AFC South, NFC West. The Jets, where they finished in their division, their cross matches are the Broncos and the Steelers, which depending on who Pittsburgh's quarterback is like not a bad draw versus what the other two
and
teams we've done so
Denver's
far.
Denver's quarterback too.
Right, exactly. So like two teams where, yeah, those can be tough games, but you're not as locked into, man, these are going to, like Buffalo draws Baltimore and Kansas City. Miami draws Cleveland and Vegas. And Vegas, like, I think we have some questions about the Jets draw Pittsburgh and Denver. And here's three teams that, what do all these three teams have in common? We talked about a lot of them today. The Jets, I keep saying their bonus opponent, their 17th game, the game that's like unique to them and the team they're playing in the opposite conference. They draw the Vikings, which is really funny because it's another team where it's like, who's their quarterback going to be next year? Is it Cousins or is it somebody else? So again, the trio of games unique to the Jets schedule and no one else's: Steelers, Broncos, Vikings. At a minimum, you would call it manageable. We don't know how good those teams are going to be, but we know they're probably not three of the best teams in the league. So I think that's interesting from a schedule standpoint.
I think it definitely is. You better you bet with Nick and Ken talking the New York Jets projected win total for next season. So defense is really good. I think Saleh stinks, but the defense is good. He's a good defensive coach, and now you have Rodgers back. and it's not Zach Wilson, and it's not Tim Boyle, and it's not Trevor Siemian. So assuming it's Rodgers for the whole season, I think the Jets need to be just like a little lower, right, than the other teams. So if we project Buffalo around 11 or whatever, 10.5, and Miami 10.5 juiced over, then do the Jets need to be like 10 juiced under if Miami's 10 juiced over? Or because I think if it's 9.5, I think I'm betting over on the Jets. I guess the inner monologue is, do you trust Rodgers to stay healthy? But if you do, I don't know, man. I don't see how they're not winning at least 10 games. What do you think about the Jets?
Yeah, the number I wrote down was 9.5 juiced over as like my first thought for them. And but like, let's play it out. Okay, the defense was third in DVOA last year. Where do you think about range-wise they'll finish this year? I think they would be at a minimum a top 10 unit again, and maybe a top 5 unit like they were this past year. I think they have a chance to be
Agreed.
Like that based on what's coming back. Okay, so if we're like locking in that side of it, the offense was dead last, 32nd. Like even it doesn't, this is my point, like it doesn't even have to be that good for this to just start getting pretty high up. Like if they're 15th, they're basically the inverse of the Miami Dolphins who won 11 games. That's what they are at that point. So I think like 9.5 over only because like we haven't seen it yet. Like there can, and there isn't a lot like the same hype that there was last year because they were so bad, which is unfair, but like that's what it is. 9.5 over or 10. It's like one of those two numbers, I think. Maybe like these three teams. So you're thinking about the AFC East teams. Buffalo will have like the highest number, even if it's just juice on 10.5. Miami will have the second highest. The Jets will have the third highest. But they'll all be extremely close. What does that mean? Is it 10.5? Is it like 10.5, 10.5, 10? 11, 10.5, 10? With the Bills being 11? Like 10.5, 10, 9.5?
I think we nailed it. Honestly, like you've asked me this question a couple times, like if we're, I think we're right.
We're right. Well, wait, so in the Jets, we're right that it's 9.5 over or it's 10?
No, I think it's 10.5, 10, 9.5 juiced over. I think that we're correct.
And if so if it's 9.5 juiced over.
I think it's 10. I think if we're wrong, it's 10.
And the Bills are 10.5 and the Dolphins are like 10 over and the Jets are 10 even juice each way, like same juice each way.
Something or 9.5 over. Yeah, correct.
But if it's 9.5 over, you said you like the over. You would think about betting the over on 9.5?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, part of what's going to decide this, part of it'll just be, do we change our minds? Subjective stuff. But part of it'll be objective. Who are the starting quarterbacks for the three games that they share with no one? Who's the Steelers starting quarterback? Who's the Broncos starting quarterback? Who's the Vikings starting quarterback? If it's the glass half full for the Jets, it's like Kenny Pickett, Jarrett Stidham, and Jaren Hall. And if it's like the, and if it's like, I don't know.
That's not glass half full, by the way. That's cup runneth over.
That's glass overflow, a teeming.
Yes.
So that's just, there's too much. That's actually too much at this point. And the worst case scenario would be something like, I don't know, like Russell Wilson or Fields. I mean, like, what's the Denver best case scenario? Stidham.
Well, I was going to say, how about I would say, like, most likely scenario for me, Russell Wilson, let's say Michael Penix, Kirk Cousins.
9.5 over.
Yeah. And they would win 10 games if Rodgers plays the whole season.
Offensive line, are they going to fix the offensive line? That's like whatever, that's what the Jets fans are talking about, right?
One would hope.
Because, you know, it was really terrible. Really, really. Who's the, I saw somebody send me a story a while ago, and I had meant to do it that day, and we didn't. The left tackle for the Chiefs, that's the guy that said he wanted to play for the Jets, and, like, everybody got, like, energized about that. Who's the left tackle for the Chiefs?
Is it Juwan Taylor or Donovan Smith?
Donovan Smith.
Donovan Smith, the former Buck.
Yeah, well, and he's like, I think he's from New Jersey or something. So he's like, and he literally said, like, I want to go play for the Jets or something. So all the Jets fans got really excited. Yeah.
And the funny thing about that is, like, he's not Walter Jones.
Right. Well, that's what the counter to that. Like, do people know that he's, like, not that good?
Like, but, that's not. I mean, given, like, what they're putting, he's an upgrade, though. Yeah, exactly. Like, he's not great, but he's an upgrade.
It's kind of interesting. I don't know. The Jets and the Dolphins to me are, I don't think they're the same, but they are kind of like, they're feisty. Give them a puncher's chance for like championship game, I don't think they beat Mahomes in a championship game, but maybe somebody else can beat Mahomes. Maybe Burrow beats them, and then they could beat Burrow, whatever, and they could go, and then they could win the Super Bowl in that situation because they're not playing Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Like, they both kind of occupy that space for me. They're like, you have questions, and it's okay to have questions, but, like, I think they're more likely to win it than a lot of the teams we're going to talk about.
Maybe we'll do Cincinnati on the show tomorrow. Our friend Eric Eager has been tweeting a lot that he thinks, like, Burrow's not, like, in Mahomes' class and, like, got lucky a couple years ago in the AFC title game. Well, next time we have Eric on the show, we'll talk about that. We're done for the day on Stadium. Twitch.tv/BetQL for the final hour of the Power Hour. More 8 buckets. We'll give you golf bets for the weekend and all our bets for tonight.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.